Welcome to the Digital Story Show, new tools for the creative mind. The Digital Story Show takes you inside with tips for the creative pursuit of photography, music, video, hardware, software, techniques, and hacks. You'll soon find yourself thinking less about buttons and menus and more about expressing the artist inside us all. Now the Digital Story Show with Derek Story.
May 13th, 2008, The Digital Story Show with Derek Story. Today's topic, why should I keyword? Well, I have an interesting show for you today. I've been thinking a lot about keywording lately, and I think that comes in part because I've been teaching. And, you know, one of the things about keywording, it's something as photography teachers, we say you should always do. You should always keyword. It's sort of like the photography equivalent is of you should always eat your vegetables. You should always eat your vegetables and you should always keyword. But I don't think enough discussion happens around, you know, what's the benefit? What's the benefit of keywording? And in fact, do you really need to keyword, right? I mean, if it's something that you hate doing and you are rolling along just fine, you know, with your photographs and finding your photographs and managing your photographs without keywording, do you really need to keyword? Now, I'm not going to answer that right now. I think ultimately that's something that you have to come up with, but I'm going to, you know, sort of lay it out a little bit right here and be honest. I'm actually going to take off my photography teacher hat and just be a regular photographer and talk about this for a few minutes. So first, I should probably go, well, what is keywording? This is essentially assigning descriptive terms to a photograph, and then it becomes part of that image's metadata. It goes there in the IPTC field, and they're forever bound unless someone decides to strip out the metadata and the keywords would flush out with that. So for instance, if you take a picture of a seagull at the beach, a typical sequence of keywords would be something like beach, ocean, bird, seagull, Huntington Beach, California, USA, something like that. So the idea being then that then, you know, that image has all those keywords associated along with a timestamp, hopefully, an accurate timestamp from your camera, and then anything else that you may have done, such as rating and stuff like that. So then it goes in the hopper on your hard drive with millions of other photographs. And then months later, you go, I need a picture of a seagull at the beach. And you go, wait, I think I have one. I think I remember taking just such a shot. So then you, if you were, you know, the good photographer who ate your vegetables and keyworded all of your images, then you would go to whatever your photo management tool would be, and that could be iPhoto, that could be Adobe Bridge, that could be Adobe Lightroom, that could be Apple Aperture, it could be any of those, and you would go to the keyword field, and you would enter seagull, maybe ocean, something like that, and then magically up would pop the photo that you were thinking of. Or if at least the individual photo didn't pop up, it would be part of a much smaller subset of photos other than the million photos that you have on your hard drive right now. So the thinking is then instead of having to kind of like scan through all those photos that you have, okay, it's here somewhere. I mean, you can just see, you know, there you are in browse mode holding down the arrow key, you know, as you're going through thousands of, it'd be like some movie or something, right, where these images are flashing on the screen and you could see them reflected in your glasses. And then at some point in the wee hours of the night on your third Coke Zero, the seagull shot shows up and you go, aha, there it is, and off you go. So it's supposed to prevent that scenario. It's supposed to save you from having to do all this browsing and just kind of randomly looking around your hard drive to find an image. And I must say, to that degree, it is very helpful. And sometimes a few keywords can really narrow down the list, right? Because when you're looking at all those images that are flashing across your screen, you're looking at everything. You're looking at shots from Washington. You're looking at desert shots. You're looking at stuff that's not even close to where the shot could be. So even if you just had a few keywords, let's just say that the seagull shot came in on a batch of shots that you took while at the beach. So you didn't, because you just sort of keyworded the whole batch at once, you didn't go through and do individual keywording, then you never really had the word seagull attached to that shot, because you had shots of a pier, you had shots of ocean waves breaking, yada yada. You had, you know, sand, all sorts of stuff. So you weren't going to apply seagull to all those shots. So when you brought in the images, you just applied some basic keywords, something probably like ocean, beach possibly, Huntington Beach, California, USA, just some basic stuff like that. Okay, so seagull isn't even really in there. But this is where, you know, this is what's interesting. Maybe keywording isn't an all or nothing thing. Maybe it's a kind of I do the best I can thing. In other words, I'm not going to eat the peas, but I will eat the carrots kind of thing. So in that scenario, then you go, okay, I know I have the seagull shot somewhere. So you go to your keywording, you go to your find field, right, your search field, and you enter ocean or beach or something like that. So instead of, you know, a million pictures flashing across your screen, suddenly you only have, let's say, a few hundred or possibly even 1,000. And then maybe you can whittle it down. Well, I know I was there in 2007. So then, you know, you whittle it down a little bit more, and suddenly you only have to go through maybe a few hundred pictures, and that's easy, right? With these browsers that we have today, these photo browsers, a few hundred's a piece of cake, right? You can do that in, you know, less than a minute. And then there it is. There it is. So even though you didn't actually have it keyworded as seagull, keywording sort of, well, no, not sort of, it really did. It helped you. It helped get you where you wanted to go without a whole lot of effort. So I think the first thing that, you know, the first point that I want to make here is that keywording doesn't have to be like you do it perfect or you don't do it all kind of thing. And in fact, in life, I rarely recommend, you know, do it perfect or don't do it at all, because what happens is that becomes the perfect excuse for not doing it at all. Well, I really couldn't, you know, do it just the way I wanted, so I'm not going to do it at all. I mean, how many times have we heard that about anything, not just keywording? So, I don't want to put keywording in an all or nothing category. I think that keywording, even a little bit of keywording, can be helpful at any given time. And really, you know, the first time that using a keyword helps you find a photograph within the time frame that you need to find it, could be a quick turnaround for a photo assignment or someone needs a print or something, the first time that it helps you do that, suddenly it was worth it. You know what I mean? Suddenly whatever you had done up until that point, at that moment, it was worth adding keywords. Okay, so all or nothing, no, we're discarding that one. Now, I know that there's always room for improvement in whatever system that we have. So, you know, if you're just really kind of doing real lackadaisical keywording, that doesn't mean that there aren't, if you have time, you shouldn't go back and maybe improve that a little bit, maybe add some keywords, especially to your really important shoots. So, you know, there's room for improvement here. But, it's nothing I have to tell you. Remember, because I'm being honest here, I'm not in teacher mode at the moment. I'm just, you know, your photographer buddy hanging out, having a beer or a Coke Zero or a cup of coffee, and just telling you what I really think. And I think if you have time, great. If you don't have time, don't worry about. So, but that gets us to then some strategies for actually adding keywords when we take our shots. I think the easier that it is to do it, then the more likely it will be that you know, you'll actually have some keywords when you go to search for something. And this is where I think the photo management applications that allow you to add keywords on import are really valuable. Because if you can do it while you're actually taking the pictures off your memory card and putting them onto your computer, even if you never touch another keyword again in that process, you will have added some general keywords. And that would be the situation, like, you know, ocean and beach, even though you didn't have the word seagull in there, because not all the shots were of seagulls. And the two applications that I think really make this easy are Apple's Aperture and Adobe's Lightroom. Both of them allow you to add keywords while you're importing the photos. Now, unfortunately, and I think this is a very disappointing drawback in iPhoto, because iPhoto has come such a long ways in, you know, the last few years. It is a really cool application, and I like iPhoto a lot. But the one of the things that it won't let me do is that when I add photos to iPhoto, either from a memory card or from somewhere else, it won't let me add keywords upon import. And I just think that's just a drag, because keywording in iPhoto is not that great, in all honesty. I mean, you can add keywords once your images are in iPhoto, but I think the whole keywording thing needs more work there. And so it turns out to be a weak part of the application. So iPhoto doesn't allow you to add keywords on import. And then another workflow that I like a lot, which is the Adobe Photoshop workflow using Photo Downloader and Bridge. They also don't allow you to add keywords while you're importing. But Aperture and Lightroom do. And I think that, for me anyway, being able to add keywords while I'm importing, first of all, you know, you go, hey, I did add some keywords. I did. Maybe only two or three. But those images have two or three keywords, and sometimes two or three keywords can be the difference between 10,000 photos and 100 photos when you're searching for something. And the way that each of them work, that, you know, while you're importing, you have the import dialog box, and that allows you to do things like customize the file name, direct where you want the images to go, you know, all sorts of little goodies like that. You can add with each of them a custom metadata template that has your name and your copyright and, you know, all that good stuff, which I also think is really important and that you should do on import. And then each of them allow you to add keywords for that batch of photos. So then you can have a strategy. For instance, if it's an entire shoot, let's say of a couple hundred shots from the beach, then you can go with very basic keywords such as beach, ocean, sand, the location, Huntington Beach, you know, wherever it happens to be, so on and so forth, keywords that apply to all the images that are in the shoot. And then after it's uploaded, if you want, then you can go to some of your really good images that are in that shoot, and that will probably be determined by, you know, the photo editing phase, where you go through and rate your photos so that you know the best from the worst. And then for those best shots, you know, those 3 and 4 star shots, you might want to add some additional keywords to make it easier to find them, because they are your best shots, and they're the ones that, when you're thinking of a certain shot of this or that, they're the ones you're going to want to be able to get your hands on quickly. So in that case, it wouldn't hurt to add a few more keywords. That being said, if you don't feel like doing that, you still have at least 2 or 3 keywords with all those shots, and along with a timestamp, that will help you find those shots later on. Now, once you've associated some keywords with some shots, you know, I keep talking about finding them. How does that work? Well, this is in all the applications, including iPhoto and Bridge. This is really easy, because generally speaking, all you have to do is point to the general location where your photos are stored, and then use some sort of search field. And that some sort of search field will allow you to just enter in text, you know, and you're just sort of guessing here, like you would enter ocean, for example, and then it goes through and all the images that are within that master directory, you know, that at the hierarchy that would be up near the top, anything with the keyword ocean in it would show up in a results field. And this is really cool. And as I said, it works with iPhoto, it works with Bridge, it works with Aperture, and it works with Lightroom. The searching part works on all of them. And then a lot of times what I like to do, once I actually find a batch, maybe I'm going to be working with it, then I may just grab the shot that I want and go on and do something. But if I'm doing some other kind of work, sometimes I'll create a special collection of just those results, because I may want to wander through them and grab more than one shot at some point. And, you know, in iPhoto, you can create a custom album. In Aperture, you can create albums. In Aperture, you can also do smart collections, you know, smart albums, where the album itself becomes a searching mechanism. So you can assign criteria, search criteria, or any type of criteria to the smart album. Say, look for all photos that are 4 stars or more and that have the keyword ocean in them. And then what Aperture will do is that it will gather all those photos and put them in an album. And it's a live searching. So if a month later you add more images that meet those criteria, they will automatically be added to the smart album. So I think that that's really cool, very helpful. And a lot of times when I'm searching for stuff in Aperture, I'll actually just use the smart album approach instead of the, you know, the query HUD or, you know, any of those other methods, because I think it's really the easiest way to go. And Lightroom also has very good searching capabilities. So once you have keywords to your shots, then, you know, you can, you know, leverage that and along with the other criteria, really whittle down your stuff quickly. So then that brings up the point, well, some of my stuff is keyworded because I got religion, let's say, 3 months ago, but then a lot of my stuff isn't. So how do I deal with that? Do I go back and keyword all my old stuff, or do I just start where I am? And that's a great question, and it really depends on how much time you have. Again, you know, not being teacher, just being, you know, photographer buddy here, I would say that if you just start where you are, just start keywording now and don't worry about it later on. You know, don't worry about going back and getting all the other stuff. That's okay. That's all right. Because what happens is if you put, again, this could be another one of those all or nothing situations. And if you put yourself in an all or nothing situation where you go, you know, I'm not going to keyword because I'm okay with starting now because I have this cool tool that allows me to do an import. But, you know, then I have all those other shots that, you know, aren't keyworded, so it's no good, you know, so I'm not going to do anything at all. I don't agree with that. If you don't want to go back and keyword all of your old stuff, then that's fine. Don't worry about it. Don't go back and keyword it because, you know, maybe someday you'll have time, maybe someday you won't. But what happens is if you start doing it now, then moving forward, everything that you do will have some sort of keyword with it. And then it's like planting a tree, right? I mean, you want shade for the car right now, but obviously the tree is only, you know, 8 feet tall and it only has, you know, 3 branches. So it's not going to shade your car. So you go, why should I plant a tree? Because it's not going to solve my problem right now. But 3 years from now, you're going to be so happy you planted that tree because your car is just going to be chilling in the summer. And I think deciding to start keywording is very similar. It's just a little tree right now. You know, you're just adding a few keywords to the shots that come in. And so only a fraction of your collection has keywords. But a few years from now, and especially, I would guess that the rate that you're adding photos to your hard drive is accelerating. Anyway, not decelerating. So then 3-4 years from now, you're going to be so glad that all those images have keywords. And you may or may not be worrying about the ones prior to that. You'll have other methods for digging those out. So I don't think that you need to go back and do your old stuff. If you want to, that's great. But don't let that be a barrier to keywording now. Start now. Start where you are. Do a lot, do a little, whatever. Just add a few. And the first time that you're rewarded by finding a shot, you'll be glad that you did it. So let me answer the question I asked at the top of the show. Why should you care about keywording? Why should we care about keywording? Well, I think we just need to keep it in perspective. This is not the end all. And if you decide at the end of the day, you know what? I keep an accurate timestamp on my photos. I keep an organized hard drive so that my folders are labeled and I can find stuff that's in them. I have a good photo management tool. And I do other things like star rating and I add captions or whatever. And I just don't like keywording. You know what? You're doing other stuff. I don't think you have to keyword. So, you know, it's up to you. However, I will say that if you have Aperture or you have Lightroom and it's really just a matter of entering a few words at the time of import, why not do it? Why not do it? Even if you don't search via keyword for 3 or 4 months, why not just keep doing it? Because it literally only takes a few seconds to do that. So so why care about, if it fits within what you can do right now, do it. If it doesn't, then don't tell anyone that I told you this, right? Because then I'm going to lose my authority as a teacher. But you know, if it doesn't work for you, then do something else. So maybe the real bottom line is, if keywording isn't your thing, do something. But don't just, you know, continue to put pictures on your hard drive willy-nilly. So that's where we're going to be. So then maybe you're wondering, well, what do you do? Okay, I'll be totally honest with you. Here's how I keyword. I use, you know, Aperture and Lightroom. And I add probably 3 keywords on import. Best I can. Most of the journey. And I try to, you know, use the same terms over and over again. And then sometimes I will add keywords later on, but I have to be honest with you, most of the time that I don't. I will add some caption material, I do photo rating, I do all the other stuff. So most of my images only have 2 or 3, maybe 4 keywords. And most of them are broad, because I don't go through and re-keyword specifically after the shoot's loaded. But I will tell you that I have used that to find photos recently, and I've been very glad that I did have some keywords, and it did literally help narrow it down from thousands of photos to hundreds of photos to sometimes even a handful of photos. So I mainly keyword on import. Do whatever works best for you, or don't do anything at all. And I think that's the point of today's show. If you know, if you've been resisting keywording all this time and you need an excuse not to keyword, I'm going to give it to you right now. But if you don't keyword, make sure you do something else so that you can find your shots. Okay, I want to talk about just a couple other things. I want to talk about the photo assignment. So, you know, I had to run a best of show last week because I was on the road and just couldn't get time to record a show. And so I also ran a best of photo assignment for this month, for May, which is Pool of Light. And the reason why I wanted to run that one again, we did it a while back, is because I think it's a good technique. And I've been looking at the photos over on Strobe's website lately because he's been talking about some flash stuff I'm interested in. And I like it. I like that approach to where you have a portion of the frame illuminated either with natural light or with a street light or with a strobe or something. And then it trails off, either graduates away or it goes into darkness or something. And I just think that's a very strong technique. And so I want to run another gallery on Pool of Light because some of you may not have participated in the first one way back. And this would give you an opportunity to do it again. So, you know, Pool of Light, you know, the classic Pool of Light shot could be at night with a street light coming down and there's someone standing there leaning on the street light pole and they're illuminated and then everything trails off, you know, into various shades of darkness from there. There's all sorts of things. You can create this effect. It occurs naturally all over the place. And it is a photo assignment for this month and I want you to give it a try. Give it a try because I think it's a good technique to have in your bag of tricks. So Pool of Light for May. And then we have a new sponsor. We have Red River Paper Company has come on to join the Digital Story. They're a sponsor, and they came out of the gates blazing. They have a special offer for us for a sample pack of paper, I think for $7.99 U.S. They're going to be providing other special offers. I'm going to be interviewing some people who use Red River paper. And the reason why Red River, the reason why I like them and I wanted them as a sponsor is they make great paper. Their paper costs less than a lot of the big name brands, but the quality is just as good in that they're very interested in making a top quality paper out of recycled material. And so, you know, they're forward thinking and it's just a great combination. I think they're the perfect sponsor for us. They have a tile on the Digital Story. You can go see it right now and go over to the site. They even created a special landing page for us where special offers for Digital Story members will be. And I'm just thrilled to have them. Red River Paper Company. I'll be talking more about them in the future, but right now I just wanted to give them a big welcome. And I also wanted to thank our other sponsors, Expo Imaging and Photo Magico and Low Pro Bags, all standing behind the Digital Story. So I think that's going to do it for this week. The usual reminder about grab shots. And also, just one more time, Pool of Light is our photo assignment for this month. And then keywording. Figure out, you know, just decide what your philosophy on keywording is going to be. And then just go that way with your head held high. Whether you keyword a lot, a little, or not at all, it's okay. But just have an overall philosophy. And I'm going to wrap up here in Ventura. I think I'm going to be home next week, although I might not be. I might be on the road. You might get another podcast from a hotel room next week. I'll do the best I can, but I will have another show for you next week also. Okay, that's going to do it for now. I'm going to go back to work. You go grab some shots, and I will see you here next week on The Digital Story. Bye-bye now.
Your questions and comments, email them to questions@thedigitalstory.com. For show notes, web blogs, and informative articles, visit www.thedigitalstory.com. We'll see you next time on The Digital Story.